Do you mind if we hurry through the early years? There are no mysteries here that can be unlocked by nursery school. Why Holbrook was Holbrook is not even the question to which we need an answer. I wonder if there's an answer for anyone, least of all him. You really need to know just one thing, and it has to do with Holbrook's father. His name was Abraham Dan Gulbreich. He was born in 1912 in Warsaw, where he once saw a crowd of young Poles knife off the beards of Hasidic Jews. During World War I, Abraham and his mother Agnes, a nurse, fled the German army east to her Russian hometown, Vitebsk. After the revolution in 1917, Agnes was accused of having Tsarist sympathies, and she and her son fled west, across Europe, all the way to France. Gulbreich grew up tall and good-looking, poor, serious, with gray-green eyes and wavy blonde hair, a Jewish Paul Henride. He studied at the Sorbonne in Paris and took a medical degree in Bologna. In the spring of 1939, on the eve of war, Gulbreich sailed alone from Rome to New York. That summer, he opened the Manhattan phone book and found a name that sounded close to his, Holbrook. He added an E for good measure, went before a judge, and on July 6, 1939, became Dan A. Holbrook, M.D. What a great country! Gertrude Moos was dark-haired, dark-eyed, high-spirited. She was born in 1920 into Germany's leading hide trading family. Her father, Samuel, served in the Kaiser's army in World War I, posing in a pickle helmet and winning the Iron Cross. He fought in Poland, in Serbia, and on the Western Front in France, where he wrote to his brother-in-law in 1916, "After the war, the Americans will discover that they have lost the sympathy of the Germans. Perhaps they will yet rue their conduct, for in the future Europe, such a vital and strong power like Germany, which is undefeatable, will weigh heavily in the scales, far more than before." That was how assimilated German Jews sounded before Hitler. Later, Sammy Moos had the foresight to read Mein Kampf, and when the Nazis came to power, he informed his children that they were Jewish and that the family was leaving Hamburg and Germany forever. They sailed to Buenos Aires, where Moos Hida had its export office. In January 1939, Trudy swapped her German passport, stamped in swastikas, for an Argentine one, and immigrated to New York. Dan and Trudy met the next year over dinner at International House, a haven for foreign students on the Upper West Side of Manhattan, and fell in love. On the night of April 24, 1941, 20-year-old Trudy gave birth to a baby boy. They named him Richard Charles Albert Holbrook. As if by piling up all these names on the foundation of an invented surname, they could bury once and for all the pogroms and Bolsheviks and Nazis and Gulbreiches from which the young couple had escaped. Dan and Trudy never used their many continental languages around the house. They didn't breathe a word of the ancestral religion to Dick or to Andy, who came along in 1946. Later, the boys were sent to Quaker Sunday School. For the high-minded culture, not the theology, this was an atheist household. Trudy only told them the secret of their past in adolescence, and Dick didn't know his father's original name until late in his own life. The old world had been nothing but trouble on both sides. The Holbrooks were no longer Jews. They were Americans. And they did what Americans do. Trudy bought a pink nylon-bound logbook titled Life Begins, illustrated with drawings of baby blue birds and a cherub-cheeked wasp infant, in which she recorded Dickie's meteoric rise, his first smile after 23 days, his weight doubling in 4 months, standing unaided at 8 months, walking at 14 months. I frankly cannot imagine Holbrook diapered. By 3, he would have been saying, "You haven't read that book? You really need to read it." After the war, the Holbrooks, like other Americans, moved to the suburbs, Scarsdale, New York. Dan and Trudy became Democrats. They got interested in art. Lipschitz and de Kooning were patients of Dr. Holbrook, as were scores of poorer refugees who sometimes paid in wine or salami. On Saturdays, cars lined up outside the two-story yellow stucco house at 2 Aubrey Drive, far from the nicest house on the Holbrook's dead-end street, where Dan received patients at home and was locally admired. He pushed his older son to study hard. Why would you go to a baseball game when you could read the book?